This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We have a couple of interesting guests here this morning, some cloud experts. In the studio this morning, we have Rebecca Rogers. She is the CEO. And we have John Kefauver. He's the Vice President of Application Solutions at a company called Astadia. Good morning, you two. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
A-S-T-A-D-I-A, kind of a well-kept secret. In this town, most people don't know about the company. But I asked around about cloud experts, and your name came up twice. I said, well, someone must know something about this company, or they're lucky, or they're smart, or have a good understanding of the cloud. And what I wanted to do today is maybe take a look at both of your perspectives on cloud system integration and how your skill set may apply to the federal world. Because my govies, my listeners, are always looking for new ways and new angles and trying to figure out how to save money and do things differently and more creatively. And that's what it's all about, bringing in new ideas and new people. And maybe one of our listeners will go to astada.com and read one of the white papers, the videos, or read the blog, or you have so many things there. It's interesting. But before we begin, Rebecca, tell us about your background and how you wound up with Astadia, please.
That's a long answer, John. So, So I've been the CEO of Astadia for nearly 2 years now. And previous to that, I have been in roles that have helped clients solve business problems. So I'm actually not a technologist by trade. Mm-hmm. I got into technology because it was a way to solve business problems. And my leadership in the background is fairly diverse in that I've led operations and sales and finance and ended up in a CEO role. And day to day, while I'm running the business, really what I most enjoy doing is getting out in front of our clients and understanding what challenges they have and then helping my team develop strategies to overcome those challenges. So, you know, the customers we serve are facing pressures to get closer to their customers or their citizenry. And that's what we help solve at Astadia.
Well, you're in the right place. Last week, I gave out 31 awards at excellence.gov, and every Thanks. One of those organizations that won the award was solving a problem. You know, there's a problem Perfect. In Department of Justice, there's a problem in the Department of Interior, there's a problem here, there's a problem there, right. benefits.gov. And this is exactly what my listeners are trying to figure out is, geez, what tool should I use? A 9/16 wrench, a ball peen hammer, agile yeah. software development, the cloud, private cloud, and that's yeah. what we want. We want perspectives and insights and ideas. And I imagine the gentleman yeah. to your right has some ideas. John, what's your background, please?
I do. I actually started as a technical programmer many, many years ago and moved all the way up through our organization. And if I had to tell you what I enjoy the most, I enjoy solving business problems for our clients. I enjoy building great teams within our company and bringing those resources to bear. But it really has been a full circle coming from the person that actually delivers the solutions to our clients to now running teams of people that deliver those same solutions. So I'm actually in my 20th year in the organization, in the extended organization. So that's a heck of a long time for a technologist, John.
Yeah, yeah. I've been around a while myself. I know about right. that. Speaking of been around a while, Astadia just didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday, huh? How long have you been around?
So we've been around since around 1985 and in the cloud since 2002.
And you have over 2,000 clients and wide range of industries. Hmm?
That's right. Yeah. Nearly every vertical has been represented by our customer base. We do a lot in local city, county, and state government. We have had federal agency initiatives in the past. And we enjoy really the parallel between what we do in our commercial business or with our commercial customers and that which we now offer to those in not only the federal government, but state, county, local governments.
My listeners know I get up early in the morning and I go to guest websites and I try to get an idea of what they're all about. And I was at your website very early this morning and I started taking down some notes. Application solutions, okay. Digital marketing, okay. Mm-hmm. Salesforce solutions, okay, support solutions. Well, this is a pretty wide range. And I looked at your case studies and I said, there's no theme here. Maybe the theme is problem solution, because the theme is as varied as the federal government is. I mean, I have listeners whose job is to go out on farms in Montana and collect data. Mm-hmm. I have listeners who are sitting in program facility in San Francisco doing real complex cloud computing. So I have this wide range, and I think that's why your background's so fascinating, because you're in the right place. Finally, I got the two people in the right place, and see if their commercial skills can be applied to federal problems. I think that's great.
Absolutely.
Now, your company has experience with some federal accounts, don't they, Rebecca?
We do. It's kind of interesting, John, because you're right. When you look at our capabilities on our website, they're broad. And one of the reasons they are is because we need to architect and deliver end-to-end business solutions for our clients. Point solutions no longer apply to the customer journey, right? Whether that's the citizen journey or the individual consumer journey, we're looking to link that all together. So when you look at our capabilities, for example, in digital marketing, we've had the opportunity to look at how our clients have the business problem of attracting and retaining their clients. And so, you know, it might be a video application, it might be a mobile application, it might be a new website. It's how all that links together that makes it interesting for our clients. And whether that's using mobile technology or traditional applications on a server, we link that all together. So from a state and local government, federal government perspective, we've done everything through creating virtual communities, to mobile applications, to revising workflow and process in complex contact centers. And, you know, John, maybe you can give an example of like a 311 mobile app that we've done.
Sure. I mean, just to add on just a little bit, I think you observe that we do offer a very wide variety of services. And I explain that to clients all the time by saying we service the ecosystem. In other words, we can take a client from all the way through their customer journey, all the way through the experience. And getting back to the application that Rebecca was referencing, we've done some things to extend some legacy and some more classic infrastructure-based systems in the cloud with our clients. We, for instance, we worked with one of the major U.S. cities to make some simple applications to enable them to report some easy things like graffiti and stoplights being out and so on and so forth. So there's this communicative approach to cloud applications sometimes that allows you to service the constituency even better than you can with on-prem or more classic technology. So it's a fascinating way to service the client.
Well, John, let me take you back a couple of years. In 2010, there was a guy named Vivek Kundra working out of the White House there, and he came up with this 25-point solution, which was pushing the federal government to the cloud. And I had him right in that chair there, and he sat there, and we talked about the cloud and moving to the cloud, and he left the government. He wound up at a company called Salesforce, which I thought was kind of fascinating. And so when I look at your website, you guys are also partners with Salesforce. I'm saying to myself, well, there's a theme here somewhere. I mean, if I take a half hour and get a couple smart people in the room, but there's a theme here. And I think the theme is moving to the cloud and maybe taking advantage of commercial services like Salesforce. Why? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, kind of worked out some of the kinks, might be able to scale, might be able to provide security cheaper than you can do now. And I think that's where I want to take a look at Salesforce and why is Stadia partners with Salesforce? What's the value to you for that company, Rebecca?
Yeah, so we were one of the very first partners for Salesforce. So we've done a tremendous amount of implementations, whether it's in their traditional sales cloud, their service cloud, more recently in their marketing cloud. And then, of course, we do customized development on their platform, which is the Force platform. And for us, the connection is our clients are looking for a way to immediately create difference in their organizations. And utilizing a cloud technology allows you to move quickly without having to create infrastructure, right? It's scalable. It's very easily configurable. It allows us to go in, assess the business problem, apply the cloud technology in a way that can be customized to them in a very short time period. And that platform has grown so much over the last 10 years that the ability to link that entire client experience, customer experience, or in this case, a citizen experience, in a way that is seamless to that customer and allows full transparency and immediacy has been what our clients have found most meaningful in having us work with Salesforce. For us, the pace at which the technology has moved has kept pace with our clients' initiatives. And you know, as an integrator and as a solutions provider, that's what I look for all the time is who do I partner with that it brings to bear the most innovative technology solutions. And Salesforce is one of our partners that has done that.
No, I could take those words and put those right in a CIO for an agency, and he's going to say to me or she's going to say to me, we're trying to partner with an organization that can help us be agile and move to the cloud. I mean, the problems you encounter in Milwaukee and Chicago and Montana and San Francisco are exact same problems that we encounter here. And believe it or not, increasingly, this idea of putting out a project and taking a look at the first pass in 2 years, it ain't going to work. It's going to be 6 weeks.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Yes, 6 weeks. Let's do a sprint in 6 weeks, see what happens, make some mistakes, and move on. And the idea of being agile is it's going to resonate very well with my listeners because they don't have any choice. They get reduced budgets. They're getting all kinds of time constraints, and they have to come up quickly and solve problems in an agile manner. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the cloud and what Astadia has to bring for my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Rebecca Rogers and John Kiefauer. He is a Vice President of Application Solutions at Astadia. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Rebecca Rogers. She's the CEO. And we have John Kiefauer, Vice President of Application Solutions at Astadia, A-S-T-A-D-I-A. You may not have heard about them, but they have a very strong reputation with many of the people in the tech community in town here, kind of under the radar here in D.C., but above the radar outside of D.C. with thousands of clients. And they have worked in the cloud since before the cloud was cool, I guess that's the way to phrase it, huh? Yeah. Right. Before the break, we talked about being agile, and I wanted to come back to that and talk about some of your methodology and your agile approach here, John. Maybe you can share with our listeners what your guys' thoughts are on that.
Well, I'm a bit old school in my beliefs in that there's not one solution that fits all, much like all the other companies and both public and private sectors. We're adopting a methodology that works to solve a business problem approach. In other words, I don't necessarily prescribe a particular method of test-driven development or waterfall approach or, you know, other legacy or more modern approaches to our client specifically, but I try to listen to the business problem and then prescribe what the right approach is to that. That being said, we are doing a significant amount of agile and more test-driven development with our clients. It lends itself much better to the rapid implementation requirements of cloud technologies. The benefits you're seeing as a result of moving to the cloud need to be coupled with a development environment and a life cycle that actually gets it there in time.
Now, Rebecca, I'm about to buy a wetsuit, and one size does not fit all with a wetsuit. You get big trouble. If I try to get some big guy's suit, I'm going to be swimming.
You know? Okay, I know we're on radio, but you've given me a visual that I may not get over today, Don.
And I think it's true for agile software development, but also for clouds. I mean, if one size doesn't fit all, then there's a public cloud, there's a hybrid cloud, and maybe, just maybe, Astadia should go in and listen to what the requirements are and then scratch their head and come up with a solution. Maybe that's the approach here, huh? Selecting the right tool for the right application.
That's right. We don't go into any pure play environments, right? Every environment that we enter has existing technology. And one of the things that we do with our clients on a regular basis, it's a process that we call the cloud map. So aspirationally, many agencies, many companies want to get there, but they know they've got an infrastructure that exists. They've got a cost structure that exists. They're on licenses or subscriptions that are multi-year, and they've got a whole list of demands from their consumers, whether that be an internal consumer or somebody externally that's saying, boy, we wish you could do this for us from a technology perspective. So the process that we go through with CloudMap is really assessing where they are today and creating a roadmap to get them there, both in form of infrastructure, the tools sets that they're using, the applications, and how to get them from here to there. And, you know, that begins with stakeholders within the community, whether that's within a federal government agency or the client themselves from a consumer perspective, where you really need to think deep about what you want to do, because no one is going to strictly abandon what they've already purchased and what is sunk cost to go completely to the cloud overnight. And so most of our clients are in a hybrid environment where we really have to think about how we apply on-premise with the cloud and how we leverage the cloud, particularly for citizen-facing or consumer-facing applications and potentially integrate them, obviously, with on-prem or mainframe environments that, to date, they have sunk cost on that they really can't move away from tomorrow. But they know they want to get there.
John, your company's been around since 1985. I was just in grade school back then, of course.
Right.
Nice.
And moved to the cloud around 2002. Now, lots of companies were doing tech in 85 because I was there.
Sure.
But in 2002, ain't no one was doing no cloud back then. I mean, mm-hmm. that was like, it'll never happen. It's too slow. Dial-up modems, 58A, 28A. No, it's not going to happen. And what we see is that maybe you folks have beat your head against the wall enough times to come up with ways to maybe approach this cloud better. And so you have your own data methodology. Tell us about that and how can my listeners benefit from it?
Well, from maybe the simple answer, John, is I'm a big believer in experience. You mentioned that we beat our head against the wall and we've got the scars. And I think the scars enable you to put good decisions in place when you're implementing software. There are tenets, there are core tenets that we all follow, right? Solve the customer's business problem, manage risk, so on and so forth. But there are gotchas in this technology. And let's face it, cloud is the latest incarnation of a model that we've had for some time. I mean, people will recall software as a service. People will recall different things that we've evolved in over the years. And those lessons, those legacy lessons, can be carried forward. The lessons we learned during SaaS, are things that we can leverage today. The things that we learned in 2002 as we really peeled the shrink wrap off Salesforce and tried to figure that out, those lessons carry forward today. So I believe it's more about our experience and the experience of people that have done it before and have the scars to prove it that really bring that methodology to life. I don't know that there's a unique set of tasks that we do, John. I just think we've got the scars to back up the lessons that we've learned.
I think one of the other things, John, just to comment on what you're saying, is one of the things that we do, when you mentioned before about one size doesn't fit all, mm-hmm. I think that's really true. And understanding the current environment in which we're working is huge to determining what methodology we're going to use and how we approach the client. Because change management, particularly when you're moving to the cloud, and if we're working with an agency or an organization who has an incumbent team that has never worked in the cloud before, has limited experience, that requires a different methodology and a different interaction and expectation setting than you would have in an environment where maybe it's a newer organization and they have all cloud, right? Very different environment. Mm-hmm. So we do at the beginning of every project a discovery process, right? Mm-hmm. That includes beyond just the technical information, but culture and change and what's going to have to happen in order to really leverage the technology in a way where adoption is accelerated and the benefits and the cost realization that they're looking for mm-hmm. is rapid.
You know, John, I teased and said not many people in town know about Astadia, Astadia, but a lot of people in town know about a guy named Sonny Hashmi from GSA. He's a well-known tech leader in town. And he was at an event a couple of days ago, and he talked about some of the experiences moving to the cloud. And he very aggressively is moving the GSA to the cloud. He's talking about, you know, virtual desktops on half the machines this year and 75% of the machines next year. Mm-hmm. He's talking about application rationalization and open source. And tell me about open source and your experience in the commercial world and where you see it has application for my listeners.
Right. So open source has its... It's pros and cons, much like other technology sets, right? From my customer's perspective, I have customers that widely embrace open source. They recognize the maintainability risks of open source and some of the other challenges with implementation, but they also recognize the sort of bang for the buck they get with open source. So I'll tell you, John, that I've got two sides of that coin. I've got people that are very resistant to an open source approach and really want a very, very prescribed, very repeatable, very, very low risk implementation. And then I've got people that are a little more on the edge. When we do some planning internally, we talk about our client's ability and willingness to evolve and their willingness to innovate within their own enterprise. And I think their willingness to innovate sometimes directly relates to their willingness to approach things like open source and ultimately to newer technologies like the cloud to begin with.
Rebecca, earlier in the show, you talked about customers and citizens, and your title is CEO. Some people say it's a citizen engagement officer.
There you go.
and you look at CRM, which what Salesforce is it could be customer relationship. It also can be citizen relationship management, couldn't it? And so I would think that Salesforce, as a cloud-based solution, could help federal government IT professionals respond to needs by citizens in a secure, agile, and a cost-effective manner, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I hate to quote figures, but I think that from a Salesforce perspective, there's nearly already 1,000 instances of where Salesforce has helped the federal government through different applications.
Right.
So this isn't really new, John. It's accelerating at a really fast pace. And Salesforce itself has a particular group that does nothing but service the federal government and public sector. They've grown really rapidly in this space, and you're absolutely right. You know, at Astadia, for example, we've helped the Department of Energy, create campaign and marketing outreach applications to help create and market energy efficiency content to the broader public. You don't think of that from a sales perspective.
My listeners do.
But it is, right?
Yeah, right.
Boy, we got to tell people about that. And so utilizing the Salesforce platform has allowed DOE to get content out at a faster pace than they would have.
We just heard about the DOE from a CEO. We're going to take a break and come back, talking about cloud and making a transition to the cloud, and see if these two folks give us some lessons learned in the commercial world and maybe how they can apply to federal IT systems. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Rebecca Rogers, CEO, and John Kefauver, Vice President of Application Solutions at Astadia. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. A little cloud talk today in the studio. We're talking cloud with Rebecca Rogers, she's CEO, and John Kefauver, he's Vice President of Application Solutions at a company called Astadia, A-S-T-A-D-I-A. I was there this morning. Pretty nice looking blog you guys got there, don't you?
Thank you very much.
Spent a lot of time on that.
Tell us about this blog and what the purpose of the blog is. And is this to tell everyone how great you guys are? Or what do you even have a blog?
I think our technologists use it to vent.
it's
a little bit of venting.
Someone twisted someone's arm and said, I want to scream somewhere. It'll scream in the blog. Well,
or, if we have a client that won't move forward with innovation, I think they use it as a platform to innovate the thoughts of our clients. But the blog is really an opportunity for our technologists to get front forward with our business clients as well as our agency clients. People are always looking for the voice of the expert. And the blogs are an opportunity for us to be very current with what we're hearing and seeing in the marketplace and what our clients are looking for as it relates to relevant information that they can adapt and use in their environment. So the blog gives everybody in our company an opportunity to be heard or to be read.
Right.
Yeah, and talk about things that are important. And what happens is inevitably there is an agency like Department of Interior that has a problem with making a transition to email, and they solve the problem in a federal environment. Well, what about these fellows over here at HHS? They may have the same kind of thing. If there's some kind of a common way, a blog, to describe problems and how they're overcome, then I think it's a nice, efficient way in the new world of social media to solve a problem. But I want to bump back to an old problem. John, I want to talk about IBM, which in my world means I'm by myself.
Right.
The IBM folks are all by themselves. There's no IBM offices. They're all offices in their basement somewhere. So IBM, big iron, big systems, a lot of commercial companies make the transition away, maybe to a server, maybe to the cloud. Mm-hmm. But I'm betting there's a lot of federal agencies doing the same thing. I mean, same kind of deal.
There.
Tell me about the challenges with moving from big iron to a different environment and what kind of lessons that my listeners can take away from the experiences you folks have had.
Right. Well, there's a myriad of opportunities there. And I call them opportunities and not challenges. But it's cultural. There's a technology problem to solve. There's a cost problem to solve. There's a, quite frankly, just an experience problem to solve. The way the legacy environment, the way the mainframe is handled by the IT departments, by the business communities that they serve, by the end users, is significantly different than where we're going to end up in a modernized environment. We'll start talking about maybe culture. I think that's maybe the most important part of it. I think technology challenges are easy compared to people challenges. And the cultural bias of a 25-year mainframe veteran against something that does not start with IBM is a significant challenge. It's a significant learning delta. It's a significant comfort level thing. They're just not in a good place for them anymore. They're it feels different. They have to do their job different. The expectations are different.
Let me give you from my a geezer perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 years ago, I was taking all my certifications from Microsoft. I would go to a physical bookstore, buy a book on MSCE. Mm-hmm. I would learn. I'd take the test. Okay, I get a star on my forehead. And I'm great. Now, I'm trying to get Google certified for AdWords. Well, guess what? There's no books on it. It's all virtual. You go to Google, you find out what you can, and then you take the test online, by the way, and it's free. And if you don't pass, you don't pass. You take another 7 days. So that's a transition. So maybe someone who's always been involved in IBM has this, well, let's get a book, I'll learn it and move on. Well, that just doesn't happen now, does it?
Yeah, it really is if you look at it, if you transition it or lay it over top of maybe a software development lifecycle pattern, The legacy world, the mainframe world, was more like waterfall. You do things sequentially. You do this step, then you do this step, then you do this step, then you do this step. The results are very predictable. It worked the same way 10 years ago that it's going to work tomorrow. In the new world, in a distributed or a cloud scenario, things are much more dynamic. They happen concurrently. There's parallel activities that happen. And there's very often more than one way to do it. And talk to any mainframe programmer, there really is only one appropriate way to do any task in life.
So Rebecca, have you ever heard, because that's the way we've always done it?
Yeah, we hear it a lot.
Well, wait a minute.
It's true. One of the things that we do a lot of modernization at Astadia, and it's something that we're known for in its core. And back in the day, it was moving everything off of mainframe to distributed environment. And now we're moving, as John mentioned, to the cloud. And we've done it, you know, City of Miami. Mm-hmm. We moved their 911 system. Really, really scary, right? Yeah. One day you're on mainframe, the next day you're not. And it all went off without a hitch, I should share with our listeners. But we hear all the time from CIOs, look, I've got an aging workforce. We don't know what's on that mainframe. We're not sure what those apps do.
So it's not just in the federal government.
No.
It's not just down at commerce.
It happens all the time. And the fear is,
reassuring.
You know, what don't I know? And my aging workforce and or I have a workforce that isn't interested in learning what I've got on my legacy systems. So we hear all the time the fear of change for the sake of, is my team going to be able to adapt to the new technology? Am I going to be able to recruit new people to work on the stuff I already have? You know, there's all of those challenges. So part of what we do with every discovery is really assessing the current teams that the CIO has and how they're going to apply to the new technology and a training path and really a change management path to get the entire team moving in the direction that they need to in order to innovate.
You know, John, when I was in college, I took a course in anthropology, cultural anthropology. Yeah. I think you got to hire yourself some culture anthropologists because you're going into a culture and making a cultural change.
It really is.
Actually, we have two of them on staff.
Yeah. No kidding.
Who we
knew?
Do.
I'm just
we
guessing
do.
There.
The successful implementations start with the internal organization recognizing the fact they've got to change the culture. They've got to make people ready for the changes that are coming. The companies that do that are successful every time.
There's a company in Reston, their chief technology officer has a degree in environmental science. And he couldn't get a job. He got a school. He knew environmental science was good at it. And he finally started writing code. And he said, the cloud is environmental science. It was just a perfect fit. You'd never think, but that was a perfect
fit. Well, our CTO is an English major. I'm not sure if he'll want everyone in the world to know that. But I don't think Mike would mind. He has written a book about
Mike
the
Lingo.
Cloud. Mike Lingo. Yeah, Mike Lingo. He's our CTO. And he started out as an English major. And you know, was a developer and kind
Absolutely.
Of moved up. Yep. What, John, what did you major in? Music?
Yeah.
Well, music
so,
and math
you know,
is,
we all get there.
Right.
It's very close, right? English
and
math.
It's real close. The M&Ms, they always
But it
together.
All relates in the end.
Right.
I think my listeners are wiping their bra going, phew. So it's not just me.
I mean,
there's people in Cleveland and in Nashville and New Orleans and Miami who are facing the same problems that the listeners probably are in. And we don't have to list the problems. You have an aging workforce. You have a lot of change. You have no money. And oh, by the way, you talk about 911. What about warfighters going over and could get killed?
Right.
That's right.
That's what my listeners have to deal with.
That's right.
And I mean, you know, someone's might die in a fire in Miami. That's one thing. But bad things happen at the DOD if you're
Absolutely.
Not careful.
That's
so,
right.
And that's what they're thinking about. And no wonder the resistance to change, because look, lives are at stake at some of the decisions they make over in the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. They just can't willy-nilly say, you guys have only been around since 1985. Well, maybe you've made some mistakes and maybe you've figured out something, but culturally, that's what they want to hear.
That's
that.
Right.
They want to say, John, okay, you screwed up, made the mistakes, and tell what did you learn from those lessons in making the cultural change?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to get the environment primed for, I always say it's like changing the tires on a car while the car is going moving, 70 right. miles an hour. You know, that is the pace at which our clients want to move. They cannot stop and change. They have to continue to move and change at the same time. And that's the challenge for the CIO or, you know, the head of IT right now,
right.
Is really thinking through what is the cost benefit of this change? How quickly can I make it? How do I adapt my team? And what are the applications that should move to the cloud first?
Mm-hmm.
And that whole process of evaluating that and moving quickly is where we help clients. And
well, app rationalization you managed before, John, that plays a large part in what we do, not only from the modernization service line, but from Salesforce and a variety of other things that we bring to market. And I think that's such a critical task and such a critical lesson learned over the years that when you're dealing with an existing environment, greenfield is one thing, but when you have applications in-house or, you know, as part of your enterprise that you need to preserve or whatever, you've got to get an inventory. You got to get your arms around that. That's such an important lesson that you have to do moving forward.
Yes, application rationalization in your title with application solution. Never thought they'd fit hand in hand, don't they? Let's take a break. We can come back, talk more about cloud solutions for federal government and maybe how some lessons in the commercial world can be applied for you. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Rebecca Rogers, she's the CEO, and John Kefauver, Vice President of Application Solutions at Astadia. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we're talking cloud with Rebecca Rogers, she's the CEO, and we have John Kefauver here too. He's the Vice President of Application Solutions at Astadia, A-S-T-A-D-I-A. More information, astadia.com. All kinds of stuff there. I mean, as of this morning, case studies, data sheets, ebooks, videos, white papers, webinars, just and interesting blogs too. And they take a technical problem and they say, hey, I was at the Salesforce event and this is what I thought was good, this is what was bad. So I thought that was a good way to take and get a better idea of their approach to the cloud. Many of my listeners read blogs. We talked about blogs in the past. You have an active blog. My blog is Tech Tuesday blog. I'll be blogging about this interview. A lot of people are on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. And does your company have a Twitter handle, Rebecca?
It's at Astadia INC.
And so you can find out what's going on, all the good news, the bad news, all the chatter and everything else. You know, there are some people who are listening to this interview saying, Rebecca's a CEO and that John guy's the nerd. Well, maybe it's reversed. Maybe she's the nerd. Maybe she's discovering it. So what I've come up with is a scientific 10-question test.
Oh, my.
Answer all the listeners for all the questions that the listeners have about who the real card-carrying nerd is. And John, we're going to have you take the test first. So I break into your house tonight, and how many desktops do I find there?
Desktops or laptops?
Desktops.
Desktops, one.
Okay. How many cell phones have you personally bought in the last year?
Two.
There's some nerd points there.
He's a change-out kind of guy.
Do you have a Twitter feed?
You're on Twitter? I do. It's at John Kefauver.
Okay. And do you have a personal blog?
I do not.
Chance for you to catch up.
I contribute to the company blog. How's that?
Do you have any online personal backup that you use?
I do not do it online.
Okay. That's the right answer, by the way.
Right.
And what kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a Galaxy 3.
Really?
Droid.
I would never have predicted that.
Yeah.
And how many of those apps have you used in the last 30 days on your Droid?
Oh, boy. 15.
15. Okay.
Maybe 20.
And I break into your house this afternoon while you're at a client's, and how many tablet devices do I see in your house? How many tablets you got?
Oh, boy. Probably about five.
Five. That's getting some nerd points. What social networking sites you active in?
Facebook more than anything, but LinkedIn as well.
Mm-hmm. Last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It was paper.
Well, Rebecca, I think you can whoop him on
nice.
This one.
I'm totally kicking his butt on that.
You can whoop him on this one.
Rebecca asked me that question. I said the last book was actually Charlotte's Web with my 8-year-old, but it was a paper version.
Well, he was honest, but you know, he may lose the kind. Rebecca, are you ready for this one?
You were using the public library, right?
I was.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm ready. Let's go.
So here we go. CEO or nerd? We'll find out. How many desktops in your home?
Zero.
Zero. How many cell phones have you bought in the last year?
Five or six.
Oh, boy.
I have issues.
Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
At Rub Raj Teej.
At Rub. And do you have a personal blog?
I do not. I know. No time.
Do you use any personal backup services online?
I do.
That's weak. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I carry an iPhone 5.
iPhone 5, okay.
Yep.
And the apps on that phone, how many have you used in the last 30 days?
Oh, my gosh. I use them all. I'm kind of an app diva.
You use them all, really?
I love apps.
More than 20?
Yeah, at least.
Wow.
Well, and I'm constantly downloading the new ones.
Are you listening, John?
Find them. Okay.
I'm getting this.
So, Rebecca, I break into your house. How many tablet devices do I find there?
I'm counting.
Okay.
Well, I'm gone all the time, so mine wouldn't be there, John.
Five or six. Okay, equal.
Yeah.
And what social networking sites are you active in?
LinkedIn, Facebook are my two primary.
And the last book you read, was it paper or was it electronic?
I'm winning this one. It was electronic.
Well, I'll play this through my little mini computer I have at home. I have a UNIVAC in the basement with a printer, a green bar. We're going to print the green bar. And I'm going to take it up to the post office. John, you know what that is?
Yeah,
office. Put it in an envelope and stamps on and then send it off to you. Thanks. Maybe the only letter you get this week.
Could be.
We'll find out exactly who the card-carrying nerd is. But it's closer than I thought, you know? I used to ask if they had a cell phone. Then it's what kind.
Right.
And then how many tablets. And now it's, if you have a desktop at home, that's not really a good thing to have anymore.
Although I have to give John props because he changes technology more than I do. You try new technology more than I do. I get a little stuck. Yeah. I'm an iOS person. You've moved from iOS to Android. Right. You've been all over the place.
We're bringing you along.
Yeah, I know.
My wife has two types of tablets, two types of notebook computers, and a smartphone, and Fitbit, and lots of apps, and she goes circles around me. And so I'm sure she'd win the nerd event. I'd be the cool guy, though, you know?
That's right.
You'd be a cool guy.
You know, in a lot of cases, I think my kids would beat me out.
When it comes to kids, you look in the future and go, geez, I want my kids to go to college, I want my kids to do this or that, or people try to predict what's going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years. I always ask my guests, Rebecca, from a corporate perspective, you've been in a lot of corporate situations all across the United States, in India, all throughout the world. Where is this all heading in the next 5 to 10 years? Am I just going to go to work with Google Glass on? No more desktops, no more tablets? Where is technology heading, especially with the cloud?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's mobile. We are seeing our clients move from an environment where everybody goes into work every day to an environment where people work wherever they are at any time, anywhere. And so that means the devices obviously are getting smaller, thinner, lighter, and everything that they want to work on has to be with them all the time.
I'm studying for the Google AdWords test, and one of the things you have to know is that 40% of all YouTube videos are viewed with a mobile device.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing? Yep. 3 to 5 searches mobile. It really is where it's at. That's probably not a bad prediction.
No, it's true. Just from an Astadia perspective, we have a digital group that was responsible for creating the YouTube site for a very large technology firm years ago. And we still manage their YouTube site and upload it. And it was very interesting because when we posed YouTube as an option to them, many years ago, YouTube was brand new, and they just didn't see it. And now it is their number one referral source for new products.
It's
coming off of YouTube.
It's incredible. Just the number of options you have for advertising if there's in-app applications, mobile applications,
absolutely.
There's just so many. It's
Having teenagers helps me, I think, in my job in that I have a 14-year-old who wanted a TV in his bedroom. And the reason he wanted a TV in his room is he wanted to be able to use his Xbox in his room. But his sister said to him, who is 16, why would you want that? TV's dead.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting to me because I had to reflect on this. She hasn't watched any TV, and I can't tell you the last time, but she's on her PC, her iPhone. She gets all of her content now in alternative means. So that's where we're headed with business and with personal use.
Throw out all those desktops, throw out all those notebooks, old-fashioned notebooks. They're too big and clunky. My students tell me those notebooks are big and clunky.
Yeah.
And so where do you think it's headed? All virtual?
A lot of it. I think the whole augmented reality trend is we're going to see a vast materialization of that. People are going to do more with less. They want to have more information, more data, more realism with them at all times. The whole idea of a device, of a disparate device to bring that content to, will eventually go away. I think it'll be more integrated into our person, into our clothing, into our our eyewear, and it'll just it's already becoming into our automobiles and into our homes, and the whole automated experience, the whole immersive experience that the technology brings us is where we're headed ultimately.
And I think that's why Sony Hashmi at the GSA is encouraging the development of virtual devices, because it's a whole lot easier to switch from a notebook to a tablet to an iPhone than it used to be from 15-inch monitor to a 17-inch monitor. If you can remember that from
absolutely
that's incredible.
You can remember that, John. I can't.
Oh, oh no, she's dropping it in. Now you win the nerd battle, and you get a little knife there. Whoa, that was a zinger, you know. Do you think the federal government's going to catch up? You think they're going to make it, or you think there's always be behind?
Oh, that's a deep question, considering your audience.
Well, yeah. They're asking the same question. I mean, sure they are.
So, do you want to go first?
Well, they have the same challenges.
I think that's the lesson of this interview.
They really do.
You guys aren't alone. The same problem people in Ohio are facing in Massachusetts.
I think the process of federal government and some, you know, we have people talk about the speed of government, right? And it's not, it's federal and it's local and it's state and it's anything public sector, but there are certain challenges in operating in that environment. Sometimes that's a detriment to moving rapidly, to moving in an agile manner. But they don't have different challenges than the commercial sector. They just have to mitigate those challenges maybe a little more differently than a commercial organization.
They may have some hands tied as far as security goes.
Right.
But I think reduced budget, forcing to be flexible, maybe some resistance from the staff. I think that cuts across. It cuts across actually countries, cuts across technology,
Absolutely. Government,
state government. I'm involved in some state projects here, and I see some of the exact same problems here. Well, we have to conclude our cloud interview right here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Rebecca Rogers. She's the CEO. And John Kiefauer, he's the Vice President of Application Solutions at Astadia. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.